You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Tuesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Glad to have you on board. I was spending some time with the Danettes on the other side of the glass. Of course, checking with my puppy, Winnie, who's sleeping right now. And wanted to be very quiet. It's like when you have a newborn, you got to be quiet. Don't want to walk by and have her start barking. So as I was walking over here to sit on the other side of the glass, Paulie goes, hot poll question, final hour. And I said, okay, what's it related to? And he said, basketball. Can I open it up now?
You should open it and read it on the air, and we all react with our first thought.
Okay. Whose career would you want, knowing the past and what the future could be? Kevin Durant, Steph Curry. Okay. How old is Durant? Is he 30?
32.
Oh, he is 32. Steph's 33. Durant is more likely to win a title, another title, sooner than Steph Curry.
Kevin Durant has won the scoring title four times in his career, Steph Curry once.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Durant has also been an All-Star every season going back to 09. Curry had a slower burn to All-Stardom.
Is Kevin Durant, when he's done, going to be a top 10 player of all time? Is Steph Curry going to be a top 10 player of all time? See, I just don't know with Durant with injuries, although Steph Curry has had injuries, but it feels like Durant is always nicked up. Wow, who would I take? Well, I love Steph Curry. I love the game. I love his story. The impact he's had on the sport, easy to root for. I would take Steph Curry, but that doesn't mean Durant's not going to end up with, you know, he'll be more decorated. Yes, Eden.
And money's not really an issue on either side there. You're good either way.
Yeah. Yes, McLevin.
You got to remember this story where the New York Times said Curry was the player of the decade and going into 2020 over LeBron? I mean, history likes Curry.
Yeah, and they should.
They said that he changed the game even more than LeBron and was really the greatest player of his era. I think then LeBron won another title and blew that out of the water a bit, but.
Well, how is LeBron changing the game?
Right, he's not changing the game, but they said Curry was, at that point, remember when Curry was on his run, he was probably flirting with being the best player in the game.
Well, LeBron changed the game off the court. I mean, he took what Michael took and then he's maximized. I mean, he's got a $1 billion lifetime contract with Nike. You know, movies, business, shows. He's taken what Michael, the blueprint, and then he's taken it. And, he's gone into the stratosphere here. Yes.
What you're saying is that if you're 6'9", super fast, and a great passer, like you're not a lot of guys could emulate LeBron.
Well, no, I don't think people grow up and go, I want to be like LeBron. I mean, he's a unicorn. But he's not a player where you go, that's how I want to play. Like I don't go, boy, that's how I want to shoot, like LeBron does. The only thing I would want to emulate if I'm another player is his ability to pass, like his ability to find the open man. He's still great at that. But, yeah, you pass, you rebound. You know, there's nothing there that I go, boy, I wish my game was like that. If I'm a professional basketball player, that, yes, you want to be like LeBron, but that's not exciting. Steph is exciting. Yes, McLovin.
That's the same reason I vote for Curry in this poll, because Durant is not a guy that you can imagine being. You know what I mean?
No, but Durant makes it look easy. As a 7-footer, he's a matchup nightmare. The only thing that was really questioned was, you know, was he going to put on weight, durability? Was he going to get banged around? But the game has changed where you can't really bang guys around. Prior to the show, you know, Fritzy was saying, you know, 30 years ago, is Steph Curry getting knocked down? Yeah, he probably is. But now they're not allowing that. You know, this isn't 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 15 years ago. They're protecting their stars there. Durant is, you know, he's great. He's going to be one of the, you know, 10 or 15 greatest players of all time when he's all said and done. I just don't find him exciting. Yeah, I find you more interesting off the floor than I do on the floor. I mean, he's great, but he's not somebody that I go, got to tune in to watch Durant. Steph Curry, I would tune in to watch. Like, how many players would you tune in to watch right now in the NBA? Like, just be honest. Steph, Zion, Luka, Lillard. You're not tuning in to see the Joker. You're not tuning in to watch Embiid. James Harden. I find Harden fascinating. Now, I used to put Russell Westbrook in there because I found that his boundless amounts of energy in both ends of the floor and what he was doing. Now, I wouldn't have given him a triple-double or an MVP just off to the triple-double, but, you know, he was really, really exciting. But how many players can you think of where you go, I'm tuning in to watch him play? Yeah, McLevin.
You didn't mention Giannis, did you? I don't know.
I don't know if people are tuning in to see Giannis. Like, what he does, you know, night in and night out. But he's not exciting. Unless he takes the ball full court and dunks. But I don't think people go, like, he's not a good shooter. He's just the ability to get to the hoop. And he's a really good defender. But that's not reason enough to, you know, say, I got to watch that game. And I think this is a real problem with the NBA of the tune-in factor. You know, am I going to watch the Lakers with LeBron? Yes, because I know the stakes are really high. Damian Lillard in the playoffs, I will watch every single game. Yeah, Paul.
Even a guy like Bradley Beal of Washington, he's averaging 31 a game, but it's almost like he has to overcome Washington. The Washington Wizards just have such a boring history, no offense, that he's averaging 31 a game, but you're not going to tune in for it.
Yeah, but you can't pick out a signature play of Bradley Beal. If I said, hey, last time you saw him, he did what? I mean, he's a scorer. He's going to put up his 31, and that'll be it. And they lose, you know, 108 to, 97. That's it. Yeah, McLevin.
Yeah, I want no part of Washington in that first round. They're like, they're actually super hot right now. And Bradley Beal, Russell Westbrook, you look at the highlights, I'm like, that's a good team.
I know, but I'm just saying Bradley Beal is not a tune-in factor.
No, and they probably won't win because of that Washington thing. Why is that? Why did Bradley Beal not get traded? I mean, to a contender. I thought that was a thing.
I don't know if he wanted to. Yeah, Paul.
Doesn't it feel like some franchises that no matter what their lineup is, they still can win? Like if you took the Nets lineup when they're all healthy and put them on the Atlanta Hawks, they would still finish 10th. Because some reason the Atlanta Hawks can't. Yeah, well, I'm being facetious, but it almost feels like, not like franchises are cursed, but high-end success is not possible.
Yeah.
Like the Atlanta Hawks are not going to finish first in the East.
I would take Steph Curry over Kevin Durant. But, you know, I'm curious what happens, you know, with the top 10. Somebody is falling out of the top 10 in the next 5 years. Next 5 to 7 years, whatever that top 10 is in the NBA all time, somebody's falling out. Yeah, McLeod.
So like a Karl Malone, Tim Duncan, Kobe, is that the guys?
I don't think Kobe would. I don't think Tim Duncan would. I could see Karl Malone falling out. You know, second all-time leading scorer, one of the most consistent players in the history of the game. Two NBA finals teams, but they didn't win. Tim Duncan won. But get the top 10. And, you know, because Kobe won. Yeah, Paulie.
There's a bunch of top 10s out there, so it's really tough to deal with. But, you know, a guy like Larry Bird is number 7 on an ESPN list. And then Tim Duncan's number 8. Tim Duncan could suffer by people not remembering him because he's not memorable on the court. His resume is fantastic, but his play is not fantastic.
Yeah, but you're going to have people say, yeah, but he won 5 titles. Like that. Like Oscar Robertson won 1 title. But he was one of the great players of the game because he averaged a triple-double. It was really easy, and most of these people didn't see Oscar play.
But don't you think a guy like Shaquille O'Neal, who is 10th on the NBA's list, on the ESPN list, could have more staying power because he's more memorable? He has a presence, marketing. He's still around. We see him. We don't see Tim Duncan or hear from Tim Duncan. He's kind of out of sight, out of mind a little bit.
Yeah, but he won.
Yeah.
I think like that's the great elixir where you go, why is that guy in there? Well, he won. Okay. Like Bill Russell. Bill Russell won. Like I can argue with some things about his game, but I can't argue with the bottom line is he won championships. Everywhere he was, college, Olympics, NBA, he won titles. Yeah, Paul.
It also feels like Magic Johnson on the list is 5th. And if and Bird is on the list at eighth. It feels like they're intertwined, that they are on the list together for a while. And Bird, again, the second half of his career, he limped to the finish, but the first 10 years were unbelievable.
Okay, but somebody's moving into the top 10. Somebody is. Is Kevin Durant moving in?
LeBron's entrenched.
LeBron is going to be moving into the top three, probably, when it's all said and done.
LeBron's already in all these lists, too, in most of these.
Okay.
Yeah, he's already there.
Okay. So he's second. But is Steph Curry going in? Is Kevin Durant going in? The Greek Freak's got to win.
Did you mention Shaq's at 10 on one big ESPN list?
Yeah, that feels like that's sort of tenuous there. With
Elijah wants like 11 on a lot of these lists, 10, 9, 10, 11.
Yeah.
I know you like him.
No, I love Elijah Wan, my favorite center. Yeah, at some point, I don't think Harden gets in there unless he wins a few of these championships. But Durant I could see, and Steph Curry I could see.
Anyway, Anthony Davis takes off the rest of his career?
No. No. Does Jerry West, if Jerry West isn't the logo, is Jerry West in the top 10 anymore?
No.
Okay. Yeah, it's hard for me to keep track of these lists because they drive me bleeping crazy. Yes.
Well, it's not that college one that had Michael Jordan number one that for a month you were mad.
Why'd you bring that up? Why'd you bring that up? I just don't know. I would have taken away everybody's voting privileges. Those who thought Michael Jordan's the greatest college basketball. You should be in. We should create sports jail. Right? I'm going to put you away. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to let you be on social media for a month. Like, I got to have a punishment there. Like, how could you say Michael Jordan, greatest college basketball player of all time? Crazy. Crazy. Yes, McLean.
The last side of this, I think you're saying the NBA needs some more watchable stars. Like, somebody's got to come with LaMelo. They need a few
now,
more exciting guys.
I do like watching LaMelo. I do. I will tune in to watch LaMelo ball. Trae Young, I've kind of warmed on. I did enjoy him a lot in college. I did enjoy him his rookie year. Not as exciting now. Yes, McLean.
But when LeBron hangs it up in a year or two, like, who's the singular superstar? You know, is there going to be another one?
Well, Steph's going to be 35 by then when LeBron. Oh, I don't know how long LeBron plays. Now, Zion, I will tune in. I will tune in to watch him. But I think you've got just a handful of players that you go, I'm going to watch this game. I'm going to make sure I watch this game. Yeah, Paulie.
Zion's in his second year. He's 20 years old. He's averaging 27-8.
Yeah.
27-8, and he's playing 33 minutes a game and is not missing games anymore. It's quick. That, remember you said when he came in, if he could have that Blake Griffin 22-10 career, that'd be a nice career. He's flying past that,
yes.
Not rebounds-wise.
Yeah. A couple of phone calls. Man, by the way, the numbers that guys are putting up now, like everybody is putting up big numbers. You know, shooting the three, wide open scoring, offenses, no defense. You know, if you're not averaging 20, then something's wrong. You're not trying. Israel in Los Angeles. Hey, Izzy.
Hey, DP. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to jump in here on the earlier comment about Steph Curry and McLovin, a.k.a. McHater, mm-hmm. on Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. Steph Curry is about to become the third player in NBA history to average 40, 50, and 90. Can McHater even name the other two?
So averaging 40 points from three-point range, 50 from the field, and 90 from the line.
40%.
Yeah, 40%.
So 40%, yes.
Steve Nash?
Steve Nash is one.
We just did this stat this year.
Larry Bird. Larry Bird did it.
There you go. All you right. Got him. And how many players in history have averaged 40, 50, and 90? And you'll never get it because I'll give you the number, but you won't pick the how many.
Okay.
Because there's a trick. There's nine total. And you already got two.
Well, but they've done it. Nash did it a couple of times.
That's right. Just nine different players.
Oh, nine different players. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you, Izzy. We'll see if we can figure this out. Yes,
McCaffrey. Wait, I thought he just said two. I'm confused. I thought he said two did it, and it was Nash and Bird, but there's nine now?
I didn't understand it. I thought he said two, and then all of a sudden it became nine.
Only thing I know is you're never going to get it.
I'm not. It's a trick question.
Trick question, because you're never going to get it.
And if we don't get it, like, how do we know? Like, Izzy's just going to be out there the only one knowing this.
Izzy might be laughing right now going, I told him two, and it's nine.
I said two, and it's nine.
And
never
it's a
gonna
trick
get
question.
It. You're never going to get
never.
It.
Never. Ray Allen?
I just keep thinking of you telling Ray Allen he's shooting wrong and that he's one of them.
I know.
It's got to be Ray Allen. Reggie?
Is Ray Allen on there? Did Reggie shoot over 40% from three-point range?
Oh, so this is saying for a career or for a single season?
Wait, somebody averaged 50, 40, 90 for a career?
We might be spending too much time
yes,
on this.
Okay.
We're never going to get it. So
I know.
He was right.
Or we keep doing it because we can never get it.
He was right. We didn't get it, and we never will.
McLevin, just look it up because we're not going to get it, and then we'll get it, and then we can move on.
Oh, it's well, I'm lucky. There's only a few guys who have been over 40%. Steve Kerr, Hubert Davis, Drazen Petrovic, Seth Curry, Joe Harris, Steph Curry and Seth Curry, Jason Capono, Tim Legler, and a few others are over 40% for their from three for their career.
Well, no, but you got to have then 50% from the floor and 90% from the line.
Well, that's easy. Haven't a lot of guys done that?
Well, no, it's in a...
Yeah, I know. I can't do all that. I'm sorry.
We're moving on.
Luke Kennard.
No, we're moving on. You understand you shoot 90% from the line,
I understand.
50% from the field, 40% from three-point range in the same season.
No, I think he meant career in the second part of that question.
Just shoot me. Yes, Paul.
Reggie Miller for his career shot 89% from the free throw line. Oh. He shot 39.5% from three and 51% from two.
Yes, Seton.
Reggie was so close to having a good career.
Reggie's going to join us Monday?
In a couple of weeks.
Oh, a couple of weeks.
Monday, May 3rd. He'll be back with us for the rest of the regular season and the playoffs.
Yeah, I've been corresponding with Reg, and Reggie Miller will be back with us in less than 2 weeks. Yes, McLevin.
In the last 8 seconds of a game at the Garden, he shot 100% from three, 100% from the field.
Get an in-depth look at one of the greatest Olympians ever, three-part Peacock original series, Michael Phelps, medals, memories, and more, streaming now. And don't miss an episode. Sign up at PeacockTV.com and start streaming the entire series for free now. Let's take a break. Let's forget that the last segment happened, and we'll come back after this on the Dan Patrick Show. Oh, discover the Discover card, and then you're going to discover something really incredible. You get all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. There's no limit on how much you can earn, which is amazing. In fact, it's even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing the word yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Got a head to Kalard. Kalard with a feed in front, trying to find Gordon. And that pass did not get through. Good play there by Pesci. Now it's Gordon in. Shoots. Save. Rebound. Scores. Yanni Gord finds it. Buries it. Bolts win it.
Lightning over the Hurricanes. Lightning play Hurricanes again tonight, courtesy of Bally Sports Sun. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing. Because Discover is accepted at 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report limitations do apply. McLevin, I'm not going to get into this 50-40-90 club because I don't even know what the hell we're talking about. Is it in a season?
I don't know.
All right, no, here we go. Is it in a season that you shot 50 from the floor, 40 from three-point range, 90 from the line, you did that, or you had individual seasons where you did at least one of those?
No, it is. Oh, God, I don't even know now. I think it's for your career.
wait a minute. They're not averaging this for their career.
Then maybe in a season? I don't know. It can't be just, of course, they've guys have done that.
Larry Bird didn't average this for his career, did he?
50, let's check.
50, 40, 90? Like Malcolm Brogdon?
What's the hardest part of that? Is 90 from free throw really hard to do, I guess?
Yeah, the number of players who've shot over 90% from the line as opposed to 40% from three-point range. Because it says Malcolm Brogdon with the Bucks, so that was when he one season with the Bucks.
Larry Bird for his career was an 89% free throw shooter, 37 from three, and 51% from two. But he had a single season where he did that.
Yes.
Like Reggie Miller had a single season where he went 40% from three, 50% from two, 90-plus from three throw line.
Here it is.
Oh, my God.
Nash and Bird are the only two players who've repeated 50, 40, 90 seasons.
I said that when we first started.
Yeah, I don't know. Thing. Did you see Elena Deladon's on that
list?
Yes,
she
That's
is on
That's pretty fun.
That. Yes, she is on.
Do you want to go play with your puppy for a few minutes?
Maybe get me for this 50, 40, 90. I'm not taking the heat for Izzy. Izzy was calling all cocky about,
you'll never get it. All right. I didn't get it. I didn't get it to not get it, if that makes sense. By the way, Gonzaga coming off a uncharacteristic day yesterday. They lost Jalen Suggs to the NBA draft, star freshman. And he's the second one and done in program history. Zach Collins was one and done in 2017, went to the Blazers. They signed the number one recruit in the country. His name is Chet Holmgren. And the first time that they've ever landed the number one recruit in the nation. He's from Minnesota, played on, I think, the same high school team as Jalen Suggs or the same AAU team. I know that they played together. Gonzaga has signed another five-star recruit as well, Hunter Salas. So this isn't a mid-major, small conference. You know, you're getting guys that you would think Kentucky, Kansas, Duke, North Carolina would get. And now Gonzaga is in the picture with the big boys. You lose Suggs, but you bring in the number one recruit. I've watched him play. I watched him play two entire games. Chet Holmgren. He's a legitimate seven-footer. He weighs less than 200 pounds. Got a great handle. He does. Has a great handle. Not for a seven-footer. He can create a shot. He runs left-handed, right-handed, both ends of the floor. Nice little jumper. But, you know, they're talking about him being the number one recruit. The following number one player coming out of college in a year from now with a one and done. But he's going to Gonzaga. Chet Holmgren. Yeah, Paul.
He is skinny, skinny. He makes Brandon Ingram coming out of college look like Charles Barkley. I mean, he is bone thin.
Yes, he
Fantastic
is.
Talent.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
He makes Thon Maker look like Oliver Miller.
Remember when Thon Maker was coming out? It's like, Thon Maker's going to he's gonna change the NBA. Well, I'll go back to when BYU was Sean Bradley. By the way, Sean Bradley was in a bicycle accident and paralyzed. I don't know to what degree, but I haven't seen an update on it. But Sean Bradley at 7'6" could run the floor. He could dribble. He could shoot mid-range jumper. I thought that he was going to change the game. Yeah, he went number two overall to the 76ers, but yeah, it was really sad to see, you know, Sean with injured in a bike accident, and I don't know to what degree the paralysis is, but Sean was a good NBA player or had moments where he was a good NBA player, but never lived up to the hype. Yeah, Paul.
When he was in high school, I was in college at Southern Illinois, and they played this thing in St. Louis called a 7-Up Shootout, and Sean Bradley's team was invited to it. It was on TV. And, you know, he was such a phenom in high school that people wanted to see him play. He sat there and signed autographs after he played, and he was on the bleachers. His legs were over the next set of bleachers and then down one and flat on the ground.
Guess who's back? Israel from Los Angeles is back.
Hey, thanks, CP. Sorry, I just wanted to clarify because I'm over here jumping up and down, screaming at my TV. Mick Lovin, it was only over the season. It'd be crazy to think over a career. So only over the season. And I think I heard you guys got the last two, so you actually did do it.
All right.
Did you get the WNBA player?
Yeah, Elena Deledon.
She was the ninth. She was the ninth to do it. That was the trick. So thank you very much. Just wanted to clarify that. Love the show.
Israel said we were not going to get it, ever. I don't know if I'm smarter, but we did get it. Steve Nash, Larry Bird, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Reggie, Dirk Nowitzki, Mark Price, and Malcolm Brogdon, and Elena Deledon. Nobody has averaged 50, 40, 90 for a career. Yes, he.
Was it Jay-Z's club that was the 40-40 club? 40. We should do 50, 40, 90, even more exclusive. And we only let in 9 people at a time. That's how exclusive it is.
Do you remember when we had Jay-Z on and he told me that the Nets, New Jersey Nets, were going to win the title? And I said, you're crazy. I said, when the Nets don't win the title, I'm going to do my show from the 40-40 club. And you're hosting or co-hosting. He said, you're on. Now, I didn't say what year, so I guess there's still hope that Jay-Z will co-host the show. Remember the Jay-Z factor? Seton would always bring this up. Whenever there was a player who might be joining another team, a free agent, and Seton would always go, oh, there's Jay-Z factor.
Well, there was like everybody would always say, like, will LeBron sign there? Well, what about the Jay-Z factor? It's like, he owns like 0.5% of the team. Well, what about the Jay-Z factor? I don't know. You want to go play for Jay-Z?
Yeah, I know. And I went, they can go visit Jay-Z. They can say hello to him when they go beat the Nets.
You probably just call him and be like, hey, what's up? You want to go get dinner?
Yeah, let's go to the 40-40 club.
The Jay-Z factor?
Yeah, mm-hmm. We'll talk about why I didn't join the Nets at that time. And then it was the Beyonce fact, you know, Jay-Z and Beyonce. Like, what do you get? Like, you sign with the Nets and you get to what? Say hello to Jay-Z?
The Justin Timberlake factor in Memphis?
Yeah. And then who owns a piece of the Cavaliers?
Usher?
Yeah. Yeah, I think Usher owns a small piece of the Cavaliers. The Usher factor? Yes, we love it.
How about the A-Rod factor now with Minnesota? I don't think that's going to be much of a factor.
I don't think so.
Who?
Yeah.
By the way, Steve Nash almost did it for his career. He was 49% field goal, 43% three, and 90% free throw. That's pretty good.
50, 40, 90, and I'm 100% done with this topic. Okay? Thank you. Thank you. All good here. Nothing to see.
You want to bring back the Tiki Barber Hall of Fame argument?
No,
I can dust that off for you.
I don't want to do that.
Right.
How about Julian Edelman Hall of Fame?
There you go.
And you gave me the 2015 NFL draft. Why?
We were talking about how you should look at drafts and that they're successful 5-6 years later. These players should all be in their prime. Most of the players taken in the top 15 of the 2015 draft are off their team, except for a couple linemen.
Okay. So we'll go back. This is 6 years ago. Jameis Winston 1, Marcus Mariota 2, Dante Fowler went 3, Amari Cooper went 4, Brandon Scherff went 5.
He's had a nice career still with his original team.
Leonard Williams, Kevin White, Vic Beasley, Eric Flowers, Todd Gurley, Trey Waynes, Danny Shelton, Andres Pete.
Andres Pete is probably the most successful player of the 2015 draft, first 20 picks. He's a 3-time Pro Bowler for the Saints.
Yeah. Devontae Parker.
Still a Dolphin.
Melvin Gordon. Kevin Yeah, so, you know, we're going to look back on this draft and we're going to do the same thing. There's probably going to be 4 or 5 hits where you go, that guy's a great player. And then there's going to be 4 or 5 where you go, that's a good player. And then there's going to be the rest of them, you're going to go, where is he? Or he's a bust? Yes, McLovin.
I think a lot of people thought Winston Mariota was a pretty safe 1-2 in that draft.
Yeah.
I would have thought. So I wonder if we're going to look back at Lawrence and Wilson and wonder, wait, maybe we were wrong about them too.
Yeah. Well, let's see what happens with Winston in New Orleans. You know, he's getting that second go-round that we saw with Tannehill that Sam Darnold's going to have in Carolina. You know, you get that opportunity where you go to a better team, and let's see if it's the quarterback or it's the team itself. or maybe it's both. Stephen in Kentucky. Stephen, thanks for holding. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dan. Stephen with a PH. First time, long time, 5'10", 179. Love the show. Got some real talk about the Super League and college football. For me, it's the playoffs that have been the big problem with college football recently, and I don't think a Super League is definitely necessarily going to solve that. I think maybe what's wrong with having a draft in college football? That would spread the talent out, and we could talk about it all spring and summer.
Thank you, Stephen. Yes. Yes, Seton.
Can I ask Stephen with a PH a question?
Okay. Stephen, are you still there? Okay.
Yeah.
If somebody calls you Steve, or if you refer to yourself as Steve, how would you spell that? Or would you go with Steph?
You know, people have started calling me Steph recently for obvious reasons, but they used to just spell it Steve or call me Steve, and I just went by it. I've kind of joked around about it recently and telling people that my name is spelled P-H-T-E-V-E-N.
Sorry, I just needed to know the answer to that.
What the hell happened this last hour here? Thank you, Stephen. Steph. Yeah.
Steph.
Yes, McLovin.
Do you know Malcolm Brogdon hit 93% of his free throws at 18?
Will you stop?
Can Alex Smith retire again?
A couple of things that I saw. Woody Page, Around the Horn Woody Page, he writes for the Denver Gazette, and he says the Broncos might be moving up to number 4. The Broncos have called the Falcons, who sit at number 4, about a potential trade. Okay. Are you going to take Justin Fields or Trey Lance? But there was talk that Denver was a team that was trying to move up. I get it. I mean, if I'm taking somebody who's going to back up Matt Ryan for a couple of years, then, you know, I certainly understand that. Yeah, Paul.
And if you're the Falcons and you're not going to replace quarterback, you could drop a couple times and get the best defensive player or a top defensive player, which they probably need more, right?
Well, I don't think there's a great defensive player.
Right, so shouldn't they could trade maybe twice.
Yeah, but if you can get Kyle Pitts, like you still want to have those guys in place so when you do get your quarterback, he comes in and he's got some weapons there. When you get your quarterback, Julio Jones is probably not going to be there. And so you want to make sure that you have somebody who can kind of, you know, you have to have Travis Kelce to go with Mahomes or Tyreek Hill. Having that, you know, you have to have those players to go along with these quarterbacks there. The other part of this is the Dolphins were considering trading down from number 6. So they've gone from 3 to 12 to 6. Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network is saying that there's a chance that they now move up because they're looking at Kyle Pitts or Jamar Chase. If those guys are off the board, but if they're off the board, you can't move up once they're off the board because you're not going to get them. Adam Beasley of the Miami Herald had previously reported the Dolphins would be more likely to trade down from number 6 if Kyle Pitts and Jamar Chase are off the board. But there's a chance now that the Dolphins might be moving up and trying to get one of these players. So there's so much information here. And it feels like the more you know, the less you know. Because it all just starts to melt together. It's a bad popsicle. And you go, I have no idea what it used to be. And that's what it feels like. And you're only going to get more of these reports or I'm hearing or sources say as we move up to the draft. Because, you know, I just saw where Arthur Blank, I think he's fascinated with the quarterbacks in this year's draft. So he's the owner of the Falcons. Okay, you're the 4th pick. You got the 4th pick. You can take a quarterback there if you're fascinated. Do you have to even... Like, I always wonder, you're fascinated. He's fascinated with the quarterbacks. What's that mean? We got to go up and trade. I would never tell anybody what I was thinking if I'm up there that high. I mean, that's why we famously don't know what Belichick does. I mean, because if you know what you're doing and then you tell somebody, how many people know what you're going to do? It shouldn't take long for you to find out where your leak is. Yes, Don.
And there's zero advantage to showing your hand anyway. What is there to gain? You know, I know if you're an agent, you spread rumors about all these teams that are interested in your client. But if you're a front office person, why would you want to get that out there? Let them wonder what you're going to do unless they're willing to make some kind of big deal for somebody that they think you're going to pick.
Yes, Paul.
See, I think it could work both ways, though. You could leak false information and bait someone. If you go back and read about the draft a couple years ago where the 49ers fleeced the Bears, yeah, they leaked stuff that they love Trubisky. They start talking about Trubisky this and that, and they were going to go quarterback. And the Bears said, "We can't wait. We got to go." And they traded up a lot to go up one spot. You can take advantage of someone's passion on draft night.
We'll take a break. We'll close up shop. What we learn, what's in store tomorrow.
Forgot my mic was on.
Yeah.
I was going to say, didn't somebody just leak information about who they were interested in just in the past like 4 weeks, and it ended up working out well for them? It just happened. Like, maybe it was Carolina. Somebody in the NFL, there was just a whole thing about, like, they sort of leaked this information, and then they ended up getting a much bigger deal than they thought they were going to get.
Well, that's the Lions with Matthew Stafford. Said, "Hey, we're open for business here." Like, they made it public. "You want Matthew Stafford? Come on and get him."
Yeah. And
they got a better deal with the Rams. Yes, yeah. McLovin.
Oh, I was wondering if you're talking about Sam Darnold and the Jets, too. That the Jets kept sort of letting out there that people were offering them first rounders. But that came out.
But they also said that they were backing him.
Yeah, I know.
Robert Saleh came in and he loved Sam Darnold.
He's our guy right until he's out.
Although you are starting to get some honest coaches and GMs like, "Hey, is that your quarterback for now?" "Wait, for now?" Yeah, he's... Teddy Bridgewater is our quarterback in Carolina for now. And the Rams did this too. Yes, Todd.
Just imagine any other job. You can get away with that when there's millions of dollars at stake and you're talking about a quarterback. But just any of us in any regular job and
someone's talking to your supervisor,
today he's got the job.
I've done that before with people that ask about your job. I said, "No, he's my booker for now."
We'll see what tomorrow's another day, though.
Yeah.
You can go either way.
Yeah. For now, you're my booker.
All we could do is live in the moment.
Yeah. All right. Wish I had another booker this hour.
Wow.
So good.
Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy birthday to Don Mattingly. Donnie Baseball is 60. Steve Spurrier, 76. At this day in sports history. Kevin Bacon is going to join us on the show tomorrow. And I stumbled upon this show on Showtime called City on the Hill, or On a Hill. And Kevin Bacon plays a police officer detective. And he's a good bad guy or a bad good guy. He's a cop that kind of bends the rules a little bit. And you start to think, Kevin Bacon, how many different roles that he's been in. You can go back to, he has this small role in Animal House where he's, you know, one of the fraternity pledges. And, you know, his famous scene where he's, you know, there's chaos there with a parade. And John Belushi's fraternity has a float that gets in. And he's like, you know, "Halt!" And they run him over. That's Kevin Bacon's role in Animal House. That, and he gets spanked. There's a fraternity kind of ritual there where he gets spanked. "Think you serve me, I am another." And then he does Footloose. And you would think that based off Footloose that he would be typecast with a bunch of roles that would be sort of, and then you're going to have a dance routine. But Kevin Bacon has had a wide variety of roles throughout his career. And this show, I'm in the second season, City on the Hill. And he's really good. There's some really good stuff in there. Yes, yeah,
you're in the second season, meaning you're watching the second season, or you're in the second season?
Oh, no, no. I'm watching the second season.
I mean, you're an actor, so I just
am. By the way, Sandler reached out, not one movie role, but two movie roles coming up.
We're in?
No, I am.
Oh.
I am. I'm going to be in the Sean Payton movie that Kevin James plays Sean Payton. You guys aware of this?
Yeah, I saw the headline.
Yeah.
Is this real?
That looks great.
Yeah. When Sean Payton got suspended by the NFL for Bountygate, he went and coached his son's high school team. And that's where the story picks up, where Kevin James is going to play Sean Payton when he goes to coach a high school team. Yeah. I just talked to Sandler about it.
Are you going
to
play Roger Goodell? I mean,
No.
Hand down the sentence?
No. I think I have to play myself. But I said, that's okay. I'm okay with playing myself. Yes, Eden.
I just watched Paul Blart Mall Cop with my son.
Yeah.
Which was it's just such a stupid movie, but damn, is it funny.
There are a couple of laugh out loud moments.
When there's a scene where he's drunk and he's like clearly making a fool out of himself because he's so hammered, and he starts tearing his shirt off and yells, "I believe in magic," and jumps through a window. Damn, I laughed so hard. It was so
Paul Blart Mall Cop. I just love saying Paul Blart Mall Cop.
I believe in magic.
Yeah, so I'm in that movie, and then he has another one about this prized basketball recruit that takes place in Philadelphia. And I have a role in that. I think I play myself in that one as well. That's bringing me up to, I think, 21 movies.
In memoriam.
Yeah, I think I'm getting there. I think if I go 25 before I die, I'm up there. Academy Awards next weekend. And I would think if I post 25, if I'm the leader in the clubhouse, then I think I'm going to probably get my picture up there in memoriam. Yes, McLovin.
Is it hard to play yourself? I know you've done it in movies before, or is it easy? Do you have to put an interpretation of yourself?
No. I try to keep it really, really simple. There's not a whole lot of thought that goes into my acting roles with Adam Sandler. He tries to dumb it down for me.
So you didn't do ride-alongs with cops for a couple months beforehand?
No, I will say that he wanted to put me in Zohan, and he said, Danny, can you do a Middle East accent? I go, no. I'd have to work on that. I'm shooting I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry. We're ready to shoot my scene, and I'm there with Sandler and Kevin James, and Kevin James goes, can you do a Brooklyn accent? I said, isn't it a little late to be asking me for this? And he goes, oh, you call yourself an actor. I said, no, I act. I'm not an actor. This day in sports history, Paulie?
I believe Don Mattingly was born on this day in sports history. And in 1912, Fenway Park was opened for the Red Sox. In 1916, Wrigley Field was opened for the Cubs. In 1916, they won their first game at Wrigley Field, and it was downhill for the next century.
Yeah. So Kevin Bacon will join us on the program tomorrow, and Peter King will join us as well. Todd, what did I learn on today's? It was award nominated until the final hour.
Skip in Texas wants McLovin to give more love to Steph Curry, suggests he should now be called McHayton. Wow.
What we learned brought to you by Mercedes-Benz vans. They go far beyond from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, five-star sales, service, financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz vans are built, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything. Go that extra mile. Taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Thanks for joining us. We'll try to make up for it tomorrow. Dan Patrick Show. One more item as we close out the show, and it's Rock Auto. RockAuto.com, founded back in 1999 by, it's a family business, automotive engineers. They had two goals in mind, and they're really simple. They want to let you see what the inventory is. Parts information hidden in the computers and catalogs behind the parts store counter. And second, they just want to make the parts affordable. They offer reliably low prices. They're taking out the middleman. They pass the savings on to you. RockAuto.com has the correct parts for vehicles of all ages. A vehicle that turns the engine off at every stoplight or has the battery installed in the trunk needs a modern AGM battery like those that rockauto.com sells. They even send the batteries right to your door. Why waste time and money hunting for the parts, phoning, driving, waiting in lines? Go to rockauto.com today. Make sure you tell them we sent you, right, Dan Patrick, in the how did you hear about us box, so they know that we sent you all the parts your car or truck will ever need. rockauto.com and tell them we sent you.